You're listening to a podcast by the Center for Action and Contemplation. To learn more, visit cac.org.
Greetings. I'm Jim Finley.
And I'm Kirsten Oates.
Welcome to Turning to the Mystics. Greetings, everyone. And welcome to this bonus session, in which Kirsten and I were talking about how helpful it would be to see what the implications are to our efforts to turn to the mystics for spiritual guidance in guiding us in how we understand and respond to this widespread social unrest throughout the United States and other countries in the world too, in response to the killing of George Floyd, which is seen also to be but the latest example of an ongoing systemic racism within the culture, and then the rising up like a collective consciousness or the collection of the movement of the spirit in the world, moving people to make a response to this. And so our commitment to the mystics is a commitment then to this presence of God that utterly transcends the darkness of this world, but not to distance us from it, but rather to radicalize our commitment to God's presence in the world. And so the mystics, the tonal quality of the mystics then, in the Christian mystic, let the mind that was in Christ Jesus also be in you. How could we join Jesus in how Jesus would understand what's happening? How could we join Jesus in what Jesus' attitude would be, that it might be our attitude? And how might that Christ consciousness move us to act in response to this societal crisis / opportunity, really? And to get at this, in this brief reflection here, I thought I'd share with you a paraphrase in the writings of St. Augustine, who was a great early Christian philosopher, theologian, and mystic. And I want to paraphrase it this way. I think this is in the Confessions of Augustine. Augustine's insight is that whenever we're prejudiced against anybody based on race or a sexual orientation or ethnic cultural background or religious belief or what any reason, what might be, we at some very deep level are prejudiced against ourselves. Because underlying these cultural, societal, historical differences is the underlying a bond of our shared humanity with each other, that we're woven in to each other, which, by the way, is really what activates empathy, why we relate and respond to each other, because we sense that interconnectedness with each other. And for us here, too, in the sense of faith or in the sense of the mystics, it goes even deeper. Because here, we say whenever we're prejudiced against anyone, we're prejudiced against ourselves as a person created by God in the image and likeness of God, that all of us are the children of God, that all of us are siblings of infinite love, and we're woven together in that love. And so the spiritual depth dimension of the destructive power of prejudice rises up then in this kind of fundamental understanding of how we understand this and respond to this. And so I think this what this invites us to do is to reflect on this as a kind of a contemplative Lectio Divina, because it bears upon this ancient, long-standing tradition of the relationship between spiritual awakening and social justice, between spiritual awakening and the corporal works of mercy. And it's now sitting in our lap. This is our turn now to be present to this. And so my suggestion then would be to do, toward the end of this little reflection here, where we're going to sit in meditation together. But my thought for you is that you would consider the spiritual practices, as you're so inclined, For example, you might stand for 8 minutes and 46 seconds in a kind of a sacramental embodiment or oneness with the community of concerned, compassionate people in the presence of God. And in this way, also to know that in doing so, you take your stand. Because another key thing about these mystics is that when we sit in silent meditation, giving ourselves over to God, the healing energies of that sitting flow out and touch the whole world in ways we don't understand. There's a kind of unseen contemplative ministry to the world, and our sitting practice grounds us in that to take our stand. Another suggestion would be to consider a reading the signs that people are putting up on the fences and the walls and holding up. Like that Simon and Garfunkel song, the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls and tenement halls. Or also there's some excellent Google articles of talks of sociologists and theologians and ministers and pastors who we can also kind of listen to that kind of help us and encourage us and guide us in this. So, and then as you're so inclined then to ground all this, to keep then returning back to the mystical taproot, to keep re-energizing, returning to these things. And that's a very good way to understand what it means to live a contemplative way of life in the midst of the world, to be a healing presence in an all too often traumatizing world. And so those are my thoughts, those are the thoughts that I would offer here for all of us. Kirsten, who's here with me, Zooming with me here, with this, with along with Corey, is, do you have anything strike you or anything, where does this sit with you?
Thank you, Jim. I do have a couple of questions. The first one, just thinking about your reflection on what would Jesus do and what would Jesus say, and that when we think about prejudice, that there can be internal personal prejudice, and Jesus certainly spoke to personal faith and personal transformation, but he also called out systems and pointed to where systems were oppressing people, and that's something that Jesus might point to in this time.
Yes, I'd say this. There's a number of examples of this in the Gospels. You know, the parables of the Good Samaritan. This person is fallen prey to robbers is on the road. And a devout Jewish person goes by, another goes by, and a Samaritan stops and binds the person's wound. So that Jesus says to the person, who's the person's neighbor? And so what he was addressing is it isn't just an individual person in his Jewish community might be prejudiced against the Samaritans because they weren't Jewish in the whole issue around the Samaritan issue. But by their silence, they were complicit in the systemic prejudice of the Jewish community, and Jesus called them out on that. And that's why he addressed it directly to the Jewish leaders that were also in collusion with that same thing. So truth to power. How do we teach truth to power, both personally within our hearts, and that we're not in collusion, that we recognize and don't stay passively in collusion with these systemic forces.
And Jim, I think the hard thing for a white person like me is that I don't naturally see the prejudice or racism built into our systems, the banking system, education, healthcare, the legal system, have all worked pretty well for me for my lifetime, and I've had no incentive to look for prejudice or racism within those systems. And in fact, if I look deep inside myself, I might find fear to disrupt systems that work well for me. So I feel like on a couple of fronts, I have to make an effort to overcome my fear and to look for voices who can see the prejudice and the racism built in the systems. And in general, those voices are suppressed by the systems themselves. And so you have to look really hard to find them. And we're at a time now where those voices are being raised up. And so with that in mind, Jim and I wanted to keep this podcast brief and really encourage you to go and listen to those voices, to Black and African-American voices in particular. and join us in a contemplative practice of opening your hearts to what you hear and to how your and my passive participation in these systems may contribute to the kind of suffering that people experience. And through our sense of connection and oneness, God's desire to end suffering can work through us. And so with that in mind, Jim, I think you are going to lead us in a practice to end the session today.
So let's do that. Let's have a sitting and we'll do this. And what I want to do here is just a brief set. I'm going to invite you to sit straight, fold your hands in prayer, we'll bow. I'll ring the bell once and we'll sit just for a few minutes. And then I'll ring the bell once again and then we'll bow. And again, as you're so inclined, then on your own, you can continue weaving this aspect into your practice and the teachings of the mystics into your life. So I invite you then to sit straight, fold your hands in prayer, and bow.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Turning to the Mystics, a podcast created by the Center for Action and Contemplation. We'll see you again soon.
Do you feel called to walk a more contemplative path? The Center for Action and Contemplation is an educational nonprofit supporting the journey of inner transformation. Our programs and resources will help grow your consciousness, deepen your prayer practice, and strengthen your compassionate engagement with the world. Learn more about our resources, such as publications, podcasts, email series, and events at www.cac.org.